السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد أفلح من أخلص الله قلبه للإيمان وجعل قلبه سليما ولسانه صادقا ونفسه مطمئنة وخليقته مستقيما وجعل أذنه مستمعة وعينه ناظرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We are discussing this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And last week, from this hadith, then we went on to the signs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the universe. Just to refresh in your minds, in this hadith we have already discussed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person has indeed attained success. That person is the one who has attained success, whose heart Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made khalis for iman. Allah Ta'ala chose his heart for khalis iman. That person's heart, iman is what moves that person. Everything moves on the strength of that iman. His business, his home life, his public life, his private life, his marriages, his walimas, his bringing up of the children, and every other aspect of life. It is that imani force which moves him. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is displeased with any particular action, then he restrains himself. And if Allah ta'ala has ordered that he must do a certain thing, then he makes himmat and he goes ahead. He does not pull back. He does not become lazy. It is a hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so he fulfills it, no matter how much it goes against his own nafs. So khalis, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has chosen this person's heart, Allah ta'ala has made this person's heart, made it khalis for iman. And he made his heart qalb-e-salim, which we discussed at length. What is qalb-e-salim and all the different tafsirs of qalb-e-salim. Allah ta'ala made his tongue sadiq. That means in his speech he is truthful. There is no lies and there is no dishonesty. The person is very truthful in his speech. He does not have the sifats of the munafiqeen. His nafs is mutmainna. Whatever is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is mutmain. He reaches that stage where it pleases him. In fact, he looks forward to the fulfillment of the hukam of Allah ta'ala. His heart has become nafs-e mutmainna. It's not that he has to be forced anymore. He becomes very happy. His nafs is mutmain. Of course, we've explained to you the different stages of nafs, the ammara, the lawama, and the mutmainna. I'm not going into the details again. Wa khaliqatahu mustaqima, and his mizaj, Allah Ta'ala has made mustaqim. His temperament, his nature, Allah Ta'ala has made such that he does not incline towards evil, or he's not dragged away by evil. The thoughts will come, sometime evil thoughts will come and try to drag him and pull him. There could be outside forces trying to drag him towards the evil places. But this person, he does not fall for those temptations. He restrains himself. His mizaj is such that he is mustaqim. There's steadfastness. He is not sometimes illallazi and sometimes ullallazi. Sometime la ilaha ula and wa la ilaha ula. So this is not the mizaj of a mu'min. A mu'min must be mustaqim. There must be istiqamat. Mu'min can commit sin. We don't say mu'min cannot commit sin. But he does not go wholesale one way. When he goes off beat and off track, then he immediately realizes that he is indulging in some sin or some evil, and he starts making tawbah, istighfar, nadamat, and he returns. He does not just continue on that line. That he gets such enjoyment now in that evil that he's back again on the same old lifestyle of his. It is by way of example, outwardly a filthy example, but it gives a big lesson. And Hazrat Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh has given this example. He says, the worm in the stool of a person. Now here we have our toilets and we have proper facilities for relieving ourselves, so we don't even notice what filth has come out of our bodies. NF68, remove your car. Somebody wants to go to this station or something. NF68. So we do not even see what filth is coming out of our bodies. But places like India, Pakistan, and even in our country, in the remote areas or in villages, where they do not have proper toilet facilities, people pass stool in the bushes or in the sugarcane fields or somewhere on the open. So he said that the worm from the stool, the person passed stool somewhere on an open field, now the worm from the stool came out. It came out and then it saw the sunlight. Sunlight, fresh breeze, there were some flowers around there too, so the fragrance of that also reached the nostrils of this worm. Now this worm, after having smelt the fragrant breeze and after having seen the sunlight and after having come out of that filth, it again goes back. It says, no, this life is not for me. I have lived long in a certain environment and therefore I have become so used to that environment that I cannot give up that environment. No matter how pleasant everything may be looking on the outside here, but that worm goes back into that stool. So he says, this is the example of those people who by way of some majlis, some zikr, or some tabligh program, or some dawat, or some waaz, or some nasihat, or some tafsir, or some dini program, now it drew that person out of his filthy environment, filthy lifestyle. The person made tawbah, istighfar. He realized that the type of life that I was leading was a life of filth and sin and evil. And now this is the life which is the real life. This is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to live. But after some time the person says, no, but this life is a bit boring. I'm so used to those clubs and to those discos and to those raves and to the cinemas and to the theaters and to the porn movies and those filthy magazines. So the person made some tawbah istighfar for a few days, and then he goes back again to that same. It is just like that worm that went back to the stool. So he says, what should we be doing? After we come out from our filth, then we should after that not return it. Accidentally, if the person was again tempted, then it must be just for that little while and that person must return. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person is successful whom Allah ta'ala has made nafs his mizaj, mustaqim. And then he gave him ears which listen to haqq and eyes which see the truth. This is where we went on then suddenly to these ayat which came to mind of Surah Rum, which we discussed quite a bit of those signs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just to recap what we discussed in detail last week, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that those people who have got sight, those people who have got hearing, what we should be really doing with that. We should look at the signs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If it's getting hot in his, put on his fan there. Look at the signs of Allah ta'ala. When do we really get the azmat of a person? Like if somebody says the king of a certain country is coming. Now what is it that makes us suddenly get excited that the king of the country is coming? Or the president is coming of a certain country? It is because we know of certain sifats of his. That the person has got this sifat, he's got this quality, he's got He's got a big kingdom. The person has got oil wells and he's got so people in his military and so much of arms and ammunition. Now all those things puts that awe into the heart of the person. So here, those who want to look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will not be able to see him directly. This is where people went astray, that they tried to look for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with their eyes. Now you are not going to see Allah ta'ala with your eyes here. In Jannat, inshallah, we will see Allah ta'ala with our own eyes. Jannat is a place which Allah ta'ala has kept for us when we are going to make the effort in this world. And the Ahlullah, this is their desire for Jannat. Why they want to go to Jannat is because they will get the didar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The sight of Allah, that Allah whom we are worshipping without seeing in this world. For whom are we making sajda? To whom are we making ruku? To whom are we making from? We are raising our hands. Before whom are we doing that? And all this restraining ourselves says, don't go towards this, it is haram. Don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't drink, don't gamble, because it is displeasing Allah Ta'ala. Now that Allah Ta'ala whom we are not seeing, but we are restraining ourselves all the time. Make namaz, give zakat, fast in the month of Ramadan, go for hajj, tahajjud, ishraq, chash, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, charities, all these things we say do it for the pleasure of Allah. Now that Allah Ta'ala who we are not seeing. So Allah Ta'ala says that you are not seeing me in the world. Now I am giving you that sight with which you can have a look at me. The Sahabas asked, Ya Rasulullah SAW, how will everybody be able to see Allah Ta'ala on this? In the Jannat, of what a crowd there's going to be, what a population in Jannat, how is everybody going to see Allah Ta'ala? He says, don't you see the full moon? Does anybody require pushing and bumping if you have to see the full moon? Wow. So wherever you can see the full moon, like that Allah Ta'ala will make us see him. NT28782 and ND58370. 28782, 58370. Those brothers who want to leave, you must try and send your car number plates quickly so that you don't have to disturb later. So there's somebody that wants to go, please move your cars. So this sight and a gaze on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Jannat, this is the desire of every mu'min. That Allah for whom we are doing everything. Again, it brings to my mind that same little couplet which you have heard many times. Unki nazaros, unke rukh se naqaba jhuthegi. Unke rukh se naqaba jhuthegi. Aaj nazaron ki mehraj hogi. Unke rukh se niqab aaj uthegi. Aaj nazaron ki mehraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. That parda, that veil, today it will be removed. In Jannat it will be removed from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Those who had the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their hearts, that gham that they carried in their hearts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that they were doing everything for his pleasure, they were restraining themselves for his pleasure. There was sometime pain coming onto that heart because everybody else was enjoying themselves in all kinds of haram, and this person was saying, no, my Allah will be displeased, so therefore I'm not going to indulge in that. So now will be the time for these people to really smile and really enjoy themselves. So we have to look for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his creation. Therefore, throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, many, many places, he describes his qudrat. So that looking at that, we can recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We don't even have to go far. Many times I have mentioned that we just have to look at our thumbprint. Wow. It's scientifically proven that no two persons' thumbprints are the same. Now which person goes and informs one mother that please don't bring another child with this thumbprint, because there's already one in this world. And where is it made? In the darkness of the mother's stomach. No computer there, nothing. Look at every part of the body, where it is made. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it in the mother's stomach, in the darkness. No factory works like that in darkness. Wow. And Allah ta'ala is fitting the heart, the liver, the lungs, the eyes, the ears. After that, still the person says that I don't believe in the existence of Allah ta'ala. Then that person must be sent to the asylum. One atheist lecturer told to the students in his class that you must not believe in anything until you don't see it. So the student asked, sir, did you see your brains? He says, no, I haven't seen my brain. So he says, will it be okay then if I call you brainless idiot? So if you cannot see your brains, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist there. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is existing, now you do not see him with your eyes, so it doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. Look for him in his signs. So therefore the signs we were discussing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, many signs he has discussed, and we have already discussed some of them in last week's tafsir. One is that Allah ta'ala created you from dust, and then after that you find yourself scattered all over. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created from dust. Then وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. It is one of the signs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he created for you mates from yourselves. And for what purpose? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. This is something that we discussed at length. In the following ayat, then Allah ta'ala describes the creation of the heavens and the earth and the variations in your languages and in your colors, that all the different colors, it is Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. Look at for Allah Ta'ala in those signs. And all the different languages of the world. I explained to you that we should not laugh at any person's language because it is a creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the same way, the colors of the person, somebody could be very dark, somebody could be very fair, somebody could be brown, somebody could be white, black. All this is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. The facial features, the hands, the feet, somebody could be tall, somebody could be short. Everything is the creation of Allah Ta'ala, and if a person laughs at that and makes a mockery of that, then he is making a mockery of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's creation and his artwork, which is very, very dangerous for his iman. There is a purpose behind it. There is wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He wants us to recognize each other. In fact, he divided us into different clans, tribes and all for the same purpose. لَتَعَارَفُوا but إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So Allah Ta'ala only looks at what taqwa is in that person's heart. Otherwise he doesn't look at the colors and the shape and the form. All that is for different purposes which Allah Ta'ala has got. Then also we discussed about the sleep during the day and the night. That the sleep also, it is a sign of Allah Ta'ala. In fact, here in this ayat it says that your sleep during the day and the night. Whereas from other ayats we deduce that Allah Ta'ala has created the night for sleep. Here and there, casually, the police force and certain other people have to do some work at night. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala has created the night for sleep. At night, a person should sleep. And during the day, he should work. A little sleep during the day, but the major part of the sleep is for the night. Allah Ta'ala has got his system like that. That when the night falls, automatically the person begins to feel sleepy. And it takes away the tiredness of the day. From this, the Ahlullah have said that it is not recommended that a person should do business at night. Of course, don't misunderstand me, that if any person has got his shop open at night, it is not haram. I'm not saying it's haram. But say Allah Ta'ala has got his nizam such that for your earning, he has kept the day for you. That during the day, go and earn your livelihood. And Allah Ta'ala will provide during the day. And at night have a rest for a little part of the night for some reason or the other. If some person has to do a certain kind of or render a certain kind of service to the community, then that is understandable. But the trend throughout the world of businesses being open 24 hours of the day, that is not recommended. It is not the system of Allah, what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has intended. Therefore, there's so much of restlessness, uneasiness. People are more stressed. There's more trauma. There's more suffering. There's more pain. And there's all kinds of problems. whenever man goes against what has been intended for him by nature, then he is going to end up with problems. So Allah Ta'ala has spread out the whole world for us. Make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Go to the marketplaces and earn. Establish your factories and run them the whole day. But at night, after that, it is for sleep. But again, I repeat, that if somebody is running his factory even at night, it is not haram. Because people misunderstand a lot. Just now we will hear that Maulana said, all those factories and businesses which are operating at night, the earnings are haram. Then we will have a big problem. I am just saying that what Allah Ta'ala has intended. If we have that yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, He will provide for us during the day that same amount of sustenance which we are expecting at night. Yes, those services which a person has to render for the creation, certain services at night, to make sure that everybody is secure and sleeping comfortably and not experiencing any pain and problem. And they are, if suddenly they require some bread, milk and sugar, then it is available, then that is understandable. But where this new trend throughout the world that because of the computerized systems, the factories are operating 24 hours. So they're operating 24 hours, but what peace are they getting? Even the owners, what peace are they getting? Now we go on to the next one. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and from His signs it is that He shows you the lightning. Lightning when it strikes, Allah Ta'ala says, both you find khawf in there and tama. That if there has been a drought for a long time, we haven't had rain, and everybody is praying for rain, they had Salatul Istisqa also, and all are waiting, looking at the skies, when will some cloud form? Suddenly we see some lightning. So it brings a lot of hope that inshallah rains will come. Inshallah rains will come. But at the same time, that lightning brings khawf also. Because so many people lost their lives, so many homes were burned, so many farms were destroyed with that same lightning. So lightning, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shows, sometimes it brings khawf, sometimes it brings hope. But it is the qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it's a sign of Allah Ta'ala, that look at that same lightning, it's bringing hope to and it's bringing fear to. For those people who have aqal, for those people who are wise, for those who are intelligent, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got this as a sign, that when we see the lightning, then it creates hope and it creates fear. Allah Ta'ala destroyed people with lightning. But then if you have those conductors, it draws the lightning. And it can be very beneficial and very useful also. In everything, Allah Ta'ala has kept both sifats. It can be beneficial and it can be harmful. The electricity current which is running through our wires, it is lighting up our globes, running our fans, moving our air conditioners, and so many other things are used, or so many other things are operating because of that electrical current. But if some stupid person has to handle that wire, naked wire, not knowing exactly what electric current is all about, then it will cause his death. So it has both things in it. And you can also shock a person with the same thing. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got this system where He has got both the beneficial part and the harmful part in the same thing. It's a sign of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So He says, what does Allah Ta'ala then do? وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Then He sends down from the heavens the rain. And this rain, فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And He brings life to the earth after it was dead. Now this is something that Allah Ta'ala repeatedly mentions in the Quran Sharif, many places, because this was not coming into the aqal of the people, that once a person is dead and he has turned to dust, how can he become alive again? So Allah Ta'ala is trying to show him that look at the earth when it is dead. In winter, look at the earth, it is dead. There's nothing there, everything has dried up. The trees have dried up, the leaves have dried up. Everything is dry, as if everything is dead. And then one good rainfall and suddenly everything is green again. Every time Allah Ta'ala is showing us that look at this, that Allah Ta'ala sends down the rain and that same earth again grows those crops and everything is green. The leaves turn green. Everything comes to life. So that Allah Ta'ala who can cause this to happen all the time, what is it difficult for him to recreate?
وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ.
And it is from the signs of Allah Ta'ala that the heavens and the earth, they stand with His hukam, with His command. There is nothing that is holding the skies. No pillars at all. Now look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala again. That if we had to design a building, then we will put the roof to the extent that we will require some kind of extension in future. So we will raise the roof to that level. At the most we will say 3 stories, 5 stories, 10 stories high. And after that we will fit in the other stories there. But we haven't heard of anybody building 500 miles high roof, or 100 miles high roof, or 10 kilometer high roof. Now at that time there were no aeroplanes. There were no spaceships. There was nothing. What the people were doing, were using their horse cart, ox cart, and there was nothing to fly in the air. Now look at Allah Ta'ala. That from that time, He took care of this need of ours. That a time will come, if Allah Ta'ala had put a roof there and put pillars somewhere, or if He had brought the sky low down and He had made it of hard metal, because there is no need to have such a high sky, what would have happened? Every plane would have taken off and hit the roof. So look at Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. That without any pillars, without any support, the sky from this end to that end, and everything is suspended in the air. Everything is suspended. The earth is rotating. The sun is revolving. And everything is suspended. All the planets. Look at Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. Ajeeb Qudrat Allah Ta'ala. Now why is it asking us to look into these Qudrats? That the Allah that you are believing in, His Qudrat is so great, then should you not be obedient to that Allah? That is what Allah Ta'ala is showing. That Allah who has provided for you so many things, so much of ni'mat, day and night He is giving you ni'mat. The earth, the skies, the heavens, the rain, the crops, in your body also, your heart, your liver, your lungs. If a person says everything belongs to me, ask him to share every part of his body with somebody, if it belongs to him. If 100 rand belongs to me, I can share it out. I can give somebody 10 rand, another person 20 rand, another person 30 rand, share it out. Now the person says, no, my body belongs to me. So tell him to share it out. He'll say, okay, I can give one eye away. I can give one kidney away. But now ask him to give half his heart away. Share half his heart with somebody. Share half his liver with somebody. Share half his brains with somebody. Can anybody do that? So it shows that it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who has placed all these things, and He is in full control of everything. Don't be mistaken that Allah does not have the power to snatch away these ni'mats. That is what Allah Ta'ala is showing. That with His Qudrat and with His power, and it is just because of His kindness, His generosity, and His forgiveness, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not seize the moment we indulge in sins and we rebel against Him. Otherwise, that Allah who has given us all these ni'mats, He also has the power to snatch it away. Whenever He wills, He can snatch it away. A person can become paralyzed, a person can go blind, a person can lose his hearing, a person can even lose his speech. Everything can fail. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam, and everything fails. So He is trying to give us these signs that we create love for Him, so much of love that we do not disobey Him. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants. He doesn't want to create such khawf and fear in our hearts that we consider Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as somebody who is just out there to punish. He doesn't want to punish. He's saying, look at these ni'mats of mine. Look at my ni'mats in your own bodies. Look at my ni'mats on the outside. Look at my ni'mats in the heavens and the earth. Look at my ni'mats all over the universe. Should you not be an obedient servant of mine after looking at all these ni'mats? So he says, look at the heavens and the earth. They are standing with the command of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, that couplet which last night I was discussing with some students of Darul Uloom. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Thodi der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Thodi der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. He says, ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. In all sins, there is some enjoyment. We don't say that there is no enjoyment at all. There is some enjoyment. But this enjoyment is like stolen enjoyment. Person has stolen, he's a criminal. He has stolen somebody's property and is enjoying it for a little while. It's unlike that person owning and then enjoying his property. He's enjoying his car. He's enjoying his possessions. Here the person has stolen. He's a criminal. We are stealing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats and then disobeying him and trying to find enjoyment. So he says, still you will get a little enjoyment. But it is mujrimana enjoyment. And we know that a criminal, any time he can be arrested. In this world he can get away. Lots of criminal activities he can get away. But we haven't escaped Allah Ta'ala's sight. So if we are going to enjoy it criminally, then we must expect punishment also that will come, unless we make sincere tawbah. So he says, ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. What kind of rebellion is this against the one who is nourishing you, the one who is sustaining you? That father who has been so kind to that son that he gives him a car, he gives him a cell phone, he gives him a home, he gives him money, he gives him everything. And then that son, he rejects that father. He disobeys that father. He back answers. He throws at the face of the father items. What will that father do? So he says, ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat. That little enjoyment that you will get, that too is not going to bring you peace and happiness, because it is with the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala cannot bring permanent happiness into anybody's heart. It is just Allah Ta'ala's overlooking of our faults and weakness that he gives us a little bit of rope so that we may return to him. Otherwise he can seize us there and then. So he says, ye mujrimana thodi lazzat, a little bit of lazzat, but it's mujrimana. But what kind it is? It is a rebellion against that Allah, who is our nourisher, who is our sustainer. Accidental sins a person can commit. Many times I've repeated this, that as human beings we can commit sins accidentally. But as believers, to go out in search of sins, and especially during these holidays, when there is nothing but entertainment of the evil kind that has been laid out like a dastarkhan for us everywhere. If you look at the newspapers, the media, the TV, the magazines and anything, all are inviting towards maasiyat, towards sins. Now when this person is going headlong towards that sins, and he's not only going headlong, but he's enjoying it also. There is no such thing as nadamat, there is no such thing as regret, there is no shame in the person. He even brags about it. He is quite happy to have himself photographed and his pictures published in the newspapers that so and so was at this club, this woman was at that club, and this person was in this cinema and that theater. So when the person is going to be happy upon his sins, is that not rebellion against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Then what do we expect when we are going to rebel against Allah ta'ala? We must expect restlessness in our hearts. Allah ta'ala must forgive us. We have all gone through days of jahiliyyah. Now we know that when a person watches some picture, he has seen some film, and when he comes out from the cinema, his heart is clouded. There's like a mist over that heart. There's nothing in there but the dancing and the singing and all the evil that he has seen those actors and actresses indulge in. What does it bring into that heart? Nothing but restlessness. This person will not be able to get that film actress, and this woman is not going to get that film actor. So there's going to be restlessness. And then a day will come when neither will that film actor or actress live, nor will those cinemas remain, nor will this person remain. Nothing. One day everything will turn to dust. The only one that will remain will be Allah Ta'ala. The only one. So should we not love that Allah who will remain forever, and who listens to every ah of ours, who listens to every sigh of ours, whether it is night or day, whether we are in pain or we are in good health, any time we call Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to listen to us. Yes, some tests and trials will come, but those tests and trials also for the pious and the good ones will be for the purpose of elevating their status and giving them more closeness. And this person will experience within his heart that this is a test from Allah Ta'ala, and therefore he will find sukoon even in that test. He is the one who will give that test, as I explained on some other occasion, that it is like a difficult paper that the examiner has set. The difficult paper that the examiner has set. Now when the child or when the candidate or student looks at the paper, he says it's a very difficult paper. But then after having looked at that paper, he tells the teacher who has set the paper that this paper is very difficult. He says, don't worry. Put your hand into my hand and I will put the answers there. So if that teacher is now going to write the answers, the person who set the examination script, he is going to also write the answers for you, then what is difficult? So Allah Ta'ala will send the test, and sabbarahu Allah, Allah Ta'ala will now give him the patience and sabr over that calamity and that disaster or that taklif. And then what will he also give him? Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. Look at Allah Ta'ala. Even in that difficulty, he is going to be with us. It's a pity that shaitan and nafs, we have become such slaves of them. They do not want us to taste this enjoyment that is in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, and in remaining obedient to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and shunning everything that is evil and haram. So accidental sins a person can commit, but he will not go out in search of sins. Thoughts will come in his mind. Shaitan and nafs will blow into his mind that do this, commit this, go here, go there, and there'll be enjoyment, there'll be fun, there'll be pleasure. What you are tying yourself like a slave to the masjid and to ibadat and zikr and tilawat, and we are not even saying that you have to remain in tilawat and in ibadat the whole day. Keep reading Quran Sharif, keep reading zikr. It's not even sharia that you must keep reading Quran Sharif 24 hours of the day. To joke, to smile, to talk cheerfully with one's family, with one's children, with one's friends. Sahaba-e-kiram, sometimes they joke so much that one fell over the other, but it was all clean and pure jokes. And now and again, it was not that they used to have like an advertisement placed everywhere, that there will be a special show in which there will be laughter and jokes. But by the way, there's a little bit of joking, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. So you will be eating, will be drinking. In fact, in these days, as I've repeatedly said, that give the nafs sufficient halal so that it doesn't go towards haram. Those people who say we must deprive ourselves of all the ni'mats and we must become rigid and hard, that is not sharia. What ni'mats Allah Ta'ala has given, make plenty of shukr and use it. Don't abuse it. Don't let fakhr and pride come into the heart. If any ni'mat has been given, consider it as a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala and then use it. So perfectly normal life this person will lead. He's going to eat, drink, marry, bring up his children. And there's so much of halal entertainment also, Sharia-wise. The only thing he will restrain himself is from haram. And that is the mujahada. If there was no such thing, then Allah Ta'ala would have made us angels and said, go straight to Jannat, finish. So there must be some mujahada, some test that we are believers in him, that we are lovers of him, and lovers of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There has to be some test. Without the test, how can a person pass? Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was the king of examples. And in these type of examples, he gave big, big lessons. He said, a person was walking, and he was staring at one woman. So the woman asked him, why are you staring at me? He says, because I dearly love you. So she said, why do you dearly love me? He says, because you are very pretty. He said, but my sister is coming from behind. She's prettier than I am. So he looked back. When he looked back, she gave him one tight slap. So just now you are making a big claim that you love me. What kind of love is this? Now with this kind of example, what a lesson he gives. If we love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we will not look here and there. We will see what is pleasing to Allah ta'ala, we will do. And what is displeasing to him, we will stray away from. That is the mujahada. We cannot do without it. In this life, that is the mujahada we will have to make. And especially in our times, you don't even have to read too much of tahajjud, make plenty of zikr, tilawat, all do reasonably everything. Just this restraining ourselves from haram in the bazaars, marketplaces and aeroplanes and airports and everywhere else that we go. Just restraining ourselves from that haram will give us wilayat, will give us a connection with our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So easy wilayat. Allah ta'ala has placed wilayat in his friendship and his closeness in all these places. So easy, so simple. But even the easy and simple thing too, we have to do. There has to be a little bit of harkat, a movement. Food is very tasty and delicious, and it's there on the dastarkhan. But we will have to pick it up and put it into our mouth, and then chew it. Then it will go into the system and give us all the nourishment. But if the person says, it's easy to eat, but I'm not going to eat, so then it's not going to give him that nourishment. So it is easy, but at the same time, a little bit of mujahada has to be made. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of course there are so many other ayat, but the time it goes so fast too. But it is always nice to finish on time. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. And believe me, the day we start making amal as an ummat, then see how the conditions change. At present, we can't change the conditions in our own home. Where are we going to change it in the whole universe? In our own homes, we are not prepared to change the conditions. We just can't do without the haram. We have to entertain ourselves with haram. And then we are complaining of all kinds of problems. So look at Allah Ta'ala and his signs. There's so much of signs of Allah Ta'ala everywhere. And then don't rebel against him. Let me just conclude with that second part of that couplet. And we'll finish inshallah in 5 minutes time. Where he says, Janaza aabaruka dafna karna, ye kaisi himaqat hai. Especially those people who are coming to the majlis, those people who are going for Hajj and Umrahs, those people who are in Muslim schools, those people who are known as Namazis, those who are known as Tablighis, those who are known as Hajis, those who go to Khanqahs by the Mashayikh, those who are engaged in dini activities. He says, Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai, thodi der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. That the temptation will be there. Now this person, he forgets at that time that I was in the first saf of the masjid a little while ago. And he goes and indulges in some haram and somebody has to see him or catch him. The person was indulging in zina and somebody had to catch him, or something happened, the building shook, or somebody was shot, and now everything comes in the newspapers. Now he says that, look at this, that for that little while of pleasure, the person who commits rape and he is arrested, how much of pleasure did he get in that rape? So he says, this haram that you are indulging in, thodi der ki lazzat, but hamesha ki nadamat hai. After that you will pick up your hands and make tawbah and istighfar. Allah will forgive you. Allah doesn't hold any grudge and no revenge. But society is not going to forgive you. Society is not going to forgive you. So it is as if you are burying your respect and your honor. Allah Ta'ala had created a good opinion in the hearts of the people. That is what I was telling those students. Allah Ta'ala has created a good opinion in the hearts of the people that this person is a student of Darul Uloom. This person is a Maulana Sahab. This person is a Qari Sahab. This person is a Hafiz Sahab. This person is a Haji Sahab. This person is a Namazi Sahab. This person is this and is that. Allah Ta'ala created a good opinion in the hearts of the people. This person goes out in tabligh. This person makes his namaz in the first saf. This person goes to a certain shaykh and he spends a lot of time. Now all this good opinion Allah Ta'ala had put into the hearts, which was Atina fid dunya hasana. Rabbana Atina fid dunya hasana. This is one of the tafsirs that Allah Ta'ala puts good opinion into the hearts of people. He says, now just for that little while of haram enjoyment, and you have buried your whole respect and honor forever and ever. Now whenever that person will see, he says, that's the person. Is that the person that you're talking about? He's the one. Ask me about him, they will say. So he says, ye kaisi himaqat hai, what a stupidity it is. Thodi der ki lazzat, hamesha ki nadamat hai. And that person does not even know if his soul will depart at that very moment that he's indulging in that haram. And it is mentioned in the hadith that when a person is committing zina, his soul leaves his body and comes above. Now if that means if he has to die in that state, then even his iman was not there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect all of us. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ay Allah, hamari khataon ko maaf farma. Hamari lagzishon se dargozar farma. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. The sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. The sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Clean and purify our hearts of all the evil that has embedded itself. Ay Allah, teri zaat-e-ali ka yaqeen naseeb farma. Teri zaat-e-ali ke saath قرب اور تعلق نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت دے, عافیت دے, سلامتی دے, عزت دے, راحت دے, مغفرت دے, جنت دے. اے اللہ جنت میں تیرا دیدار دے. اے اللہ ہماری اولاد کی مغفرت فرما, والدین کی مغفرت فرما, بیوی بچوں کی مغفرت فرما, پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما, سارے عالم کے اندر آج امت مسلمہ پریشان حال ہے, ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. Oh Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties and problems, remove the difficulties with halal risk and sustenance. Ya Allah, whatever difficulties and problems any person is experiencing, remove it with your fazal, with your ihsan, with your karam. Ya Allah, bless us all with a life of piety and righteousness and taqwa. Ya Allah, hame dunya bhi de aur akhirat bhi de. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. And when the time of our departure comes from this world, take us away with iman. Take us away with kalima on our lips. Take us away at Madina Tayyiba with shahadat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sameem alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khair khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.